Hey, Curiosity Builders, I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, visionaries, and changemakers who are on a mission of chasing big ideas, telling epic stories, and leaving living legacies. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative and curious life for some time, I hope you'll learn something new in this podcast and find yourself inspired to break through the barriers that hold you back and keep you stuck from getting your work to work. What would you do if someone you look up to invites you to be part of their journey, knowing your life would forever change? From the early days of growing her skills in the world of hair and makeup to eventually working for Prince, today's guest on Getting Work to Work, Abibat Durosimi of Bloom Beauty Collective, tells stories of her journey and lessons she learned along the way. Additionally, she shares how she is daily living her purpose, helping creative entrepreneurs heal and thrive in their careers. We also talk about her 2020 virtual event for Design Week Portland, The New Norm in Fashion. If you struggle with knowing your worth, thinking like a brand, or dreaming big enough dreams, I hope Abibat's story will inspire you to go beyond your comfort zone, up your skills, and reach out to other creative entrepreneurs. Show notes and links to all the good stuff mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/432. Abibat, welcome to Getting Work to Work. It's so wonderful to talk with you today.
Well, thank you so much, Chris, for having me. I'm excited.
Absolutely. And I love to start with this question with everyone because I just want to know, what are you endlessly curious about?
How the world works as human beings, as far as, you know, the system that we find ourselves being subject to. Yeah. I'm very curious about just everything, like, why are we here? And, you know, the evolution of, you know, us as beings and the way that we think. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a big question. Why are we here?
I know, right? Right?
Any answers yet?
She sure does. Like, every morning I wake up, I'm like, okay, thank God I'm here. So what is my mission again? You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always one of those things where you have to kind of think through of your purpose, you know, and being mindful of that. And so that's something that I always, that's the first thing that always comes to mind when God wakes me up, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Love it. So what is your mission and purpose then that not only wakes you up, but gets you out of bed?
To make every day better for me, my family, my community. I've always been the type of person that wants to make people feel at ease just around me or just even within their own skin. It's one of those things like, how can I make every day better for me and everyone else?
I mean, how can you not love that?
Right? We have to wake up with a train of thought of optimism just to get us up every morning, right? Like, we need to have something that motivates us, not just with someone else, but just within yourself, especially now. Like, I think we all are kind of definitely going through some things where we have to wake up feeling, you know, some type of purpose. To move on, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. It's interesting too, because there's a lot of use of the phrase the new normal. I hear it almost every day. And it's just like, for a lot of people, if they're living their purpose, the new normal isn't any different than the old normal. It's just daily living a purpose.
Exactly. Exactly. It's funny too, because I had a conversation with a colleague of mine and, you know, he definitely said the same thing. He's like, this is nothing new to me, you know, and, you know, it definitely set him apart from, you know, the way I was thinking at the time when we had the conversation, but it definitely puts a lot of stuff in perspective, right?
Yeah.
What is the new norm? Just the word normal, what does that mean for to a lot of people?
Seeing as you like humongous questions, I couldn't help but ask you this question. What is beauty?
Beauty to me is, you know, that saying of the eye of the beholder, right? So within yourself, beauty is who you are and what you can exude to others, to the world, right? You know, so it's nothing that is visually appealing to me. It's what's within yourself. So beauty is, to me, is kindness. It's consideration, your true self, pretty much, and understanding what's around you, having that better understanding of what's around you, being self-aware, you know, being self-aware with others' feelings. I'm trying to find the right words for that. I know there's a word there. Just can't find it out.
All right. It's interesting because all of the things you described aren't visual, yet when you're tapped into that, I imagine it affects visually as well.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. I have the same where I say, if you don't feel good, you don't look good. If you don't look good, you don't feel good. It goes hand in hand, right? I think, you know, it definitely plays in our psyches, especially when it comes to the visual, people who actually can see and how they interpret it through their psyche, right? What is beauty to them from what they think they know, what it is, the knowledge of it, what has been taught to us, what beauty is supposed to be. And so that's the reason why I do say that you have to kind of look within, because that's the only way that's what true beauty is supposed to be about.
If I understand correctly, you've worked behind the scenes for 20 years as a hairstylist and makeup artist, correct?
Yes. Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that journey, because for those 20 years, you probably was bombarded with a message of what beauty is from an industry perspective.
Yes.
And what you philosophically and personally understand about it.
When it comes to hair and makeup, it's all about the visual, right? We talked about that, right? And, and for me, being a hairstylist first was all about hearing other people's problems. Right. We're like, okay, I'm like, I'm a counselor. And when you're touching someone, that is personal to them. Right. And when they trust you as far as how they need to look, they also want to feel good about how they look and how to perceive themselves. And sometimes I find myself, you know, either coaching them through a certain journey of theirs. If it means that let's say if someone has cancer, right, and they lost their hair, and it's just very tragic for them because they've only known having a full mane of hair, and all of a sudden it's gone, right? Yeah. And to them, you know, for some people, hair is beauty, and that withstands what beauty means, right? And they have to find ways to love themselves in a different way, depending on how they look, right? And for me, I always find myself as like, you know, you are the beauty. I have to let them know that you are the one that is withholding that beauty and what you look like and how you feel. So you can uphold yourself without any hair and still walk around like a queen that you are, right? And that's something that I always try to instill into anybody that's in my chair, male or female. Let them be comfortable within their own skin and what they already have, and then be able to help them, you know, embellish their beauty even more.
In that embellishment, is that where makeup artistry comes into play as well?
Exactly. You know, it's funny because I've always come across people who either don't like makeup, or they just thought that makeup was a way of just overdoing yourself and it was just a whole lot, or it was something that was needed, that they felt like if their skin wasn't even, or they had a lot of breakouts, or they just love makeup for the art of it. For me, I always try to find that medium in between that with my clients or anybody that is interested, especially if they come in and they're saying like they have certain bad skin types, or they're trying to figure out a regimen for their skincare, and in the process, how do they come out visually? Because especially if people are in front of the camera, of course, the camera is definitely unforgiving. You have to wear makeup to make everything look flawless. If not, people will look at you, you know, like you have leprosy, you know, like it's one of those things where now we are trained to what beauty looks like, it being clean and clear or tamed, right? When it comes to your hair, it's always something that I think society sees beauty as controlled. Like when we do watch TV commercials or anything visually, everything has to be within the lines. I try to help people understand that it's okay to go outside of the lines, think outside of the box, you know, jump into your creativity, especially within yourself, and not have to be scared of having to fit into this box of what beauty is supposed to look like. So, it's definitely been, it's an awesome journey. Like, I mean, I don't know. I've always been into it since I was a little kid. My mom told me that I cut my sister's hair at 3 years old. At 3 years old.
Oh, like, my gosh.
I must have just really thought that, like, ooh, and my sister has beautiful abundance of hair. And that was just always in me. You know, my mom will braid my hair or do my hair every week. We will have, you know, house parties. So, you know, gave us an excuse to dress up and all of that. And I think that I was really drawn to that. It was awesome to see people smile, right? And yeah. feel good about themselves and they're looking good. And they're just like, mm-hmm. yes. And then you can see them, you can see their confidence starts to build up, you know, mm-hmm. within them. So that is why I still stay in the industry because of mm-hmm. that.
What I absolutely love about what you just said is you are not only bringing out of people what you see and what you're experiencing, you're painting a whole new picture for them.
Yeah.
I think that's what I love the most about what you said, is that it's not just going beyond the lines, you're changing the picture.
Mm-hmm. And trying to help them be okay with that.
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of us, you know, we have our certain types, there's types A's and B's, you know what I mean? And, mm-hmm. you know, they want to be in control. Some people would like to feel like they're in control of things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes beauty, you don't have that control. It's either you're sick or something mm-hmm. happens and you have to adapt to that. Mm-hmm. And to me, beauty comes within confidence within themselves. So mm-hmm. yeah, no, I appreciate you even noticing that about me. Yeah. So that's awesome.
How did you learn to find your own confidence in being able to first witness someone else's, you know, picture mm-hmm. and then communicate it and learn to be bold in your own expression of what you see?
Once I got older, you know, instead of just playing mm-hmm. in my sister's hair or whatnot, when I got into junior high school, middle school, and high school, I was that go-to girl that people wanted me to braid their hair for, you know, either they were cheerleaders, dance team, you know, they just knew that I had that artistic in me because they would see my hair in braids. They're like, who did? I'm like, oh, I did, you know, and oh, can you braid my hair, you know, and stuff like that. And I think right there and then I already had that confidence within mm-hmm. myself where I was like, oh yeah, I can do that. So let me try it on you. Even if I haven't even done it before, like different working on different types of textures of hair, you know, straight, mm-hmm. even Asian coarse straight hair where, you know, it's hard to even keep a curl in, you know, mm-hmm. to very kinky, curly, tight curls hair. I was able to work with all because I just mm-hmm. always was fascinated mm-hmm. by it. And that's what, you know, encouraged me to be like, yeah, let me try that. And if you like it, great. If you don't, let me see if I can try to do it again. That was me being just naturally ambitious, always trying to make sure that I can find something to make someone feel good about themselves.
I love naturally ambitious. Mm. Who were your heroes? Who were the people that really encouraged that natural ambition?
My parents. Both of my parents are Nigerian. I'm first generation here in the U.S. They both exuded this natural confidence within themselves. I think when you know who you are and where you come from, you already have this built-in confidence, right? And so I see my parents as my heroes because they've never told me that I couldn't do anything. They always pushed me to succeed in anything that I wanted to do, not what they wanted to do, but what I wanted to do. And that was a blessing within itself.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're going through your journey, you're building a career in hairstyling and makeup artistry, mm-hmm. and somewhere along the line, you end up working for Prince?
Yeah. I mean, who would have thought? Like, honestly, I mean, like in high school and junior high, like, would I ever thought about working with a celebrity? Like, yeah, I watched TV videos, music videos, and all that stuff to build up inspiration, because here I am living in the Northwest and trying mm-hmm. to find culture when it comes to different types of beauty was hard, right? It, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the Northwest is not a melting pot, you know, of some sort. So I always had to look outside. It's funny because I wanted to actually be in business marketing when I went to college. Mm-hmm. And that was like my thing. And I always had hair, you know, that was like my little, I would call it my little side hustle, you know, because I was able to make money and still be able to braid hair. I was working with the corporate world and I had hair on the other side. When I decided to leave the corporate world, it was around the time where I had to take care of my sister. It was like the perfect timing, right? I was in my late 20s. I had to figure out how I was going to build up my clientele, right? Because I didn't have anybody that really looked like me and that had the same hair texture and all that in Vancouver, Washington, right? So I had to go over the bridge, go to Portland. I saw more of the, you know, people that looked like me, a bigger community. So my way of me to tap into that was to become a promoter. A friend of mine who wanted to do something called the Love Jones, which was poetry and live music and, you know, performing arts and all that stuff. So I was like, yeah, I'm down for that. I've always been like an organizer, like a project manager, you know, deep down, because I'm all about, even event planner, because I'm all about throwing parties, right? So so I was like, yeah, let me do that. Apart from hair, I mean, I played the flute for about 10 years. Wow. I was always around dance and just the arts itself, right? And so I've decided to throw myself into that. And it felt good. It was brand new. I met the right people. And I'm meeting my friend, who now, Olivia Warfield, who's known as Liv Warfield. She came on stage and she sang and she rapped. And she looked just like me. She was dark skinned, this beautiful, like, you know, just all at once, right? Just hit me all at once. And I'm just like, oh my God. I want to help her. I want to like enhance whatever she got going on right now. And when she found out that I did, you know, hair, she was like, I'm looking for a stylist. And once she sat in my chair, it was over. Like, we became best friends. We shopped together. We had the same interest, more so in music, but also in fashion and beauty. And she was the first person to give me my first makeup kit, because at that time I was just only doing hair, but you know, I will also get her ready for her photo shoots and all that. She's like, Biba, you know, you can do different things outside from being behind the chair. And I, you know, when I was in cosmetology school, I mean, the only thing they would teach you was either working for a brand, working for a salon, or you own your own salon, right? But it was never freelance work. Or if you did a freelance work, it was either working for a cosmetic line. You know what I mean? It wasn't just you as an individual. And that's something I didn't know until Olivia was able to put that towards my attention. So I started traveling with her when she was going through her transition and trying to figure out what was her next move, because she just finished her first album. She was working on her next album, but she also needed to put her name out. So she was doing a lot of tours, college tours, and she met an individual that was singing background for Prince, and she was going to leave that industry. So she found her and recommended to Prince, and, you know, showed YouTube videos and all that. And she was accepted to start singing with background with him in 2010. When he started going on tour, she gave me a call. And, you know, me just watching her just pretty much blow up, you know what I mean? I was just a cheerleader on the sidelines, you know? And in the meantime, I was just building up my portfolio, you know, just going on Model Mayhem, trying to find, you know, it was a website where you can find models and photographers and you can start building a portfolio with them. But when she gave me that call and she was like, are you ready to work? I'm like, yeah, I'm always ready to work. And she's like, no, like, work, because Prince wants you to come to New York at the Madison Square Garden for like 2 weeks to do hair and makeup. And I'm like, what? At this time, I mean, I my daughter was like not even 2 years old at the time. And, you know, my kid's father, he was just like, this, I mean, you have to go. Like, what? Yeah. You know, what other opportunity would you ever get to have this, right? So I was blessed enough to be able to leave my family for a couple weeks and immerse myself in this world that I never thought I could be in. You know what I mean? Like, I just never thought twice, right? And here I am. I'm surrounded by umpteen celebrities because everybody loves Prince, right? Like, I mean, from movies to choreographers. Like, I mean, people that I saw on TV that I was just like, oh my God, I can't even be a groupie right now. Like, I have to be a professional. Like, I need to keep this job, you know? Like, that was like my only frame of mind at the time when I got there, you know, was you need to keep this job, because Prince was the type of person that you had to go with his flow. Whatever his creativity was going, you had to go along with him. And if he wasn't, he was quick to just drop you off. And like, I'm moving on, you know, and whoever's coming with me comes with me. And watching him being able to produce this experience for everyone, right? Because, you know, with Prince, with his story, it was one of those things where he comes out with Purple Rain, right? I mean, like, he was already this genius, right, in the music world, right? And he comes out with Purple Rain, and then he had this ongoing battle with the record company and his name. And mm-hmm. you remember the transition where he ended up becoming, he was no longer known as Prince and he had this symbol, you know, he wore slave in his beard, you know, and like people was just trying to figure like what's going on. Like, you know, me as a kid watching him growing up, I had no clue what was really going on and why he was doing the things that he was doing and how you couldn't go online and type in Prince. You couldn't go on formerly known as Prince and find anything about him. When he decided to open up a little bit more, he was able to work with Jay-Z and Tidal, this new outlet for people of color as far as the artists, as far as music is concerned, production, all of that. He was able to support that. And by him being now mainstream, I mean, more mainstream, meaning like you're able to follow him, right? People who are not on his website, because he kind of built this cult-like following. I mean, that was the only way that you knew exactly what Prince was going to do, where he was going to tour. Yeah, it's definitely a beautiful journey coming from just living in Vancouver, deciding to become a promoter, and, you know, just jumping outside the box, really, because, I mean, I was working corporate for all of my 20s, you know, from, you know, when I was able to work from 15 all the way, you know, until I decided just to become an entrepreneur. And watching him, it made me feel comfortable to be a true creative entrepreneur, because he was about teaching others to create something and be able to have it for themselves, meaning to be able to own everything, right? To have the right to own your own art. And I mean, obviously he had to go through this hard learning experience to be able to share that, right? With him going to changing his name into a symbol, into finally getting all his masters from Purple Rain, which was the biggest lucrative project that he's ever been on, right? Like to be able to get all of that back and then to pass away was very heartbreaking to see, you know, because that was something that he was like, you need to get everything that you have done and own it and know your worth from the beginning.
Wow.
So that no one will take that away from you. So can you imagine, like, you know, I don't think anybody really thought about it unless you really followed that industry, right? Like, to know that everything that you work for, because he wrote everything, he produced everything, and that to be snatched away from him, he couldn't make any money from him. He couldn't even win an award for that. It's crazy. Like, I'm even talking about it right now. I'm like, ugh. To imagine, to know, to go through all that. And, but then he was able to feed that to the people that was around him, you know, and he always had Black women around him constantly. You know, I think if more so is because we naturally mothered him in a way, you know, like we took care of everything. We knew how to show up, you know, but just women, period, you know, overall, like he had, you know, a rainbow of women, you know, who had different backgrounds. And, you know, he was the type of person that will find the diamond in a rough in you, you know, and give you the tools to help you polish and shine, you know, and you had to be willing to accept it, because he was like an oracle in a way, you know. And I think that he brought people, I think he wanted to make sure that he had people around him that thought the same way.
So how was he an oracle in your life?
Teaching me how to be a true creative entrepreneur, because here I am just starting in my career as far as a makeup artist and, you know, freelance artist, and not knowing what my worth was. And to be accepted for my art, just for what it is. Like, I wasn't marketing myself, you know, I wasn't putting myself out there, you know. He taught us that. He taught us how to brand ourselves as creatives, how to market ourselves, to own our art. To me, that was that's how I saw him as an oracle, because he somehow always knew what was going to happen. You know, he just had this feeling like, there was an incident. I'm not sure if it was in DC or Toronto. I'm trying to remember. It was like Welcome to America Tour Part 2, right? It was like another leg of the tour. And we was in this Coliseum where there was no air conditioning. It was like one of the hottest day there. It was like 80, 90 degrees. There was no air. And he just like, I don't think we're going to perform. We're going to pull out. This is before anybody was stepping in to, you know, get lighting together, to get all that. You know, once he knew that he couldn't breathe in that space. He was like, yeah, this is not going to work. You know, of course, production was like, nope, we're going to have to make this happen. Tickets were sold, blah, blah, blah. And then right before the show starts, there was a security guard that was standing right next to his green room. And he faints and busts his head open. Like, he is like, oh, yeah, that's a sign. Obviously, like, who can go on after that? Right. I mean, he was okay. You know, thank God, you know, the guy was okay, but he just knew that that was just not the right time to perform. Like, he just knew, just as far as when it comes to energy, you know, and he knew that he was going to be able to come back and perform again, you know, and give back to the fans. But, you know, he also cared about the people that was around him, the energy that comes along with it, because if he wasn't right, nothing was going to be right. The reason why I decided to share that story is just that anybody else would be like, the show has to go on. All his music, if we really listen to it, all tells a story. It's trying to tell us something. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us, you know, if anything, probably listen to just the melodies, but not really listen to what he is saying. And he was really trying to teach us and forewarned us exactly what was going on in our communities, in the state of the world. He was very vivid about sharing his thoughts about what was going on in America and how he felt about it, and how him as an artist, the main purpose of how he needed to help his community. I don't think a lot of people knew that about him. He definitely was about taking everything that we learned and bringing it to the next generation, because we only can do so much. We will have to just give that torch to that next generation to keep on going. So then we can just finally knock down anything that gets in our way to be able to express ourselves freely, to have that freedom to be who we are as individuals, as artists, as beings, as Black people, as white people, as all races, right? And to love one another and to help one another to be better.
Well, it's amazing to have that experience, because then, you know, after that, you can't help but take that energy and that transformation and create something new. Right? So, I mean, is that what led you to the Bloom Beauty Collective?
Yes. Once he passed, it put me in a position, everybody in a position. Of course, we were mourning, but having to think about what was next for ourselves, right? And how we can still take that torch that he's given us and pass it down. So Bloom Beauty Collective was that. It was bringing creative entrepreneurs together and create this community where we can take our youth and have them understand that their arts, their passion means something, and that it could be turned into something as a lucrative career. Because like for me, I mean, I always thought that just being behind the chair was, that's the only way, you know, to own a salon, that was the only way. And for a lot of people still think that way. There's not a lot of us as who are freelance artists, because it takes a lot of work. You have to have the business side of things, right? You have to make sure you are branding yourself well, you're marketing yourself well, you have a financial stability, all of that. A lot of us who are creatives don't think of that. We pour ourselves into our art. The business aspect of it is last. And I think that's why a lot of artists are not successful. And me being having the background of working with small businesses, you know, when I was working for corporations and different small businesses, I got a chance to see how a business grows from the bottom up. You know, I've done administrative work, accounting, all of that. So it was easy for me to be a true creative entrepreneur, you know, because I knew how to balance my books. I knew how to be able to have that go hand in hand. And that was something that I can contribute to when I was working with Prince, you know, being on the glam squad and being able to balance the books and still be able to create. So that's what Bloom Beauty Collective was about. And I wanted to bring different people from different parts of the industry, in the beauty industry and the fashion industry, because to me that goes hand in hand, to bring that awareness to everyone, of people of color for that matter. Because for me, being behind the scenes, not only working for Prince, but then also behind the scenes for like working for different productions, like, you know, video productions, commercials, I also been part of, you know, Fashion Week, especially here in the Northwest, Portland Fashion Week from the beginning when it first started in 2010 until now it being split up to now it being Fashion Next, right? And it's just being that own person of color was a little bit hard, but then I was already used to that, right? I grew up in a predominantly white school. I was able to adapt to any surroundings that if I was the only person of color, that I would still show and prove every single time. That was the thing that I wanted to do. I wanted to kind of dive in into the inner city communities and get children that who always dreamed of being a photographer, who always loved, you know, working on, you know, making someone feel good about themselves, doing their hair and their makeup, and giving someone that looked like them, that was in that position, to encourage them to become a true creative entrepreneur. And that's where Bloom Beauty Collective came about. And it started in 2017. Nice. And I didn't really know exactly how I was going to bring that attention. So I just started to create different events that brought awareness to what we were trying to do. So my first one was called the Natural Beauty Summit. It was a 2-day ambitious. It was my very first one. It was a 2-day event. The first day was to talk about, you know, natural hair, from, you know, it being natural curly to tight curls, to how to put yourself together when it comes to, you know, doing interviews, how to carry yourself, branding, just being able to self-brand yourself as a professional, as a creative. And then the second day was about wellness. We were definitely going through this overall change in the world, right? Change of the president, the way people started to look at people of color and the system as a whole, right? And how do we get through all that? How do we get through all the trials and tribulations of a person of color, especially as a creative, because we're sensitive people. How do we get through all of that and emerge from all that? So what do we tap into? What tools do we need to tap into? So that's being aware of your mental state, being aware of your physical being, nutrition, wellness, all that, right? Because like in the beginning, I said, if you don't feel good, you don't look good. If you don't look good, you don't feel good. So all that comes combined. Wellness, beauty, fashion, branding, like all of that is all in one big melting, this one big pot. So I'll try to bring that all that in together and have everybody sip from that pot. That little cup.
That's not a cup. That's a meal.
Right. Exactly. Yes. I want them to be full in knowing that they have this gift and that they can be able to live off of this gift that is given to them.
That's so powerful.
Yeah.
So powerful. What I love about it too is it's, you're not just empowering, you're not just educating, you're extending what you received from Prince into other people. I mean, you're an extension of him, but you're also, you're extending yourself and you're creating this community that, that is thriving in themselves and with each other.
You know, Chris, I've never really thought of it like that. You know, it was just one of those things that I've always been the type of person that I will live life, learn through it, learn through all my mistakes and all my my triumphs, and being able to take that in. And I appreciate you putting that in that aspect, because that's basically what it was at the end of the day. Yeah. You know? Wow. Yeah. Definitely makes me feel good, Chris. Thank you. It's a good reminder.
You should feel good. You know? At the end of the day, I mean, you can look at your resume and be like, I have accomplished so much, but it's more than that. The fact that you keep finding the next big question to ask is unbelievable and is a testament to everyone else out there that finding that next big question is so important.
You know, I think that, you know, that's the only way that we can able to elevate, right? To be better than what we were before. It's awesome to be able to look back, because talking about this, because I don't get a chance to talk about Prince. I don't get a chance to do that. I don't, I throw myself into my work, because every day it's me trying to take care of my family. I have two kids and I'm a single mom. And, you know, I definitely, I'm all about trying to create this hopefully this like new world for them, right? Yeah. For them to see through, especially with everything that's going on right now, you know, to be aware that they can help others too. And that's what's going to have them wake up and have a purpose as well. Especially now with COVID and having to see what that looks like, because me throwing events looks different now.
Yeah.
Fashion looks different. Beauty looks different now. Everybody is being very transparent.
Beauty is from the waist up now.
Exactly. Right. We're all doing Zoom calls, you know, FaceTime, like all of that. And everything is now visual. You know, a lot of people can't read books until we hear it or we see it in the movies. Like a lot of people need both. Right. They need audio and visual. Like, and for the ones who don't have both, it's something that we have to really think about, right? Like, I think about that now. It's like, wow, there's some people who don't have both, but they take advantage of this or all their other senses to make them feel whole again. And I think now it's like we are trying to figure out what is going to make us feel whole again, because a lot of people are having a lot of chunk of them taken away from them during this COVID, during, and the people who already had a pieces of them been taken from them, they have to find a way to heal. In a way, that's where I come in. You know, everybody has their position in life, right? Who they are. I see myself as a healer. I'm not a frontline person. You know, I feel like I need to take care of the ones who are wounded and to build them up and to turn them into these powerful warriors, you know, that who they are. You know, that's how I see. I'm like, yes, you know.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's beautiful. I mean, to use the word that we've been using, beauty, that alone, that desire to heal people and turn them into warriors, that's awesome. Oh my gosh.
I just like people being at their best, seeing people at their best, you know, and then whatever I can do to help with that, that's what feeds me. I throw that into my kids. I try to every day, you know, even though they look like, Mom, really? I'm like, yeah, you know, like we got to show up, you know, and do our best. So then people can see that we can do our best and we can help others as well. So, yeah.
One of the ways that you're showing up is your Design Week Portland event, The New Norm in Fashion. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Through this process of trying to figure out where Bloom is going to stand as not only an event production, but how do we continue the narrative of shaping what fashion is supposed to be, right? And how people of color fits in the industry. The New Norm in Fashion, the reason why I chose that was just bringing awareness of that things are going to change. And we have to find a way to adapt to that. So with fashion, how can we make it sustainable? How can we make it functional? Because now red carpet is not the thing. Now it's all about what are essential pieces that we need to carry to continue to thrive wherever we're at. And so I wanted to bring that awareness. I wanted to tap into all different parts of the industry, not only for like media, but journalism, like fashion editing, to how to even make the garment, you know, from being a bespoke tailor and having to become owning a brick and mortar. How do you become being a doctor and finding your passion and becoming a designer? You know, so many different stories to share with others, but then also having different views of what fashion is to them and what that looks like now. And how can we change the narrative when it comes to having more people of color in that industry?
Again, you're not shying away from the big questions.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, now, it's, I mean, especially now with BLM being very prominent, to have an understanding of one culture, right? And what we had to go through. And it's just not from what you hear from our mouths. Now the whole world sees it. And now the whole world has to figure out how we need to change. Right. And how, what that, what does that look like? Because it's all about being genuine human beings at the end of the day, how we treat each other. We are the same. We're our beings, but we think individually, we think different. How do we get like-minded individuals together to make something good?
And making sure that we witness one another
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Show up for one another.
Yeah.
You know, not just for family or friends, but just people that you don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's where we need to be. We need to tap into humanity and how we think about each other. And definitely that's why I try to pour into everybody that I meet. Be that light. Not to say that mm-hmm. we should forget everything that's going on, right? Like I want to everybody to feel, because we need to feel, right? Mm-hmm. Like we need to be able to understand our feelings and how we feel about everything that's going on in the world and our own, fighting our own demons and making sure that we know how to heal from that. And then how do we heal from that, and how do we make it better so that wound won't open again?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think people who have the platform to do so need to be able to find ways to tap into however they're going to be able to share their experiences
mm-hmm.
in a way where people can have a better understanding where we're coming from in all different areas. That can be race, culture, religion, anything that we don't think is a straight line.
Nothing is linear. It's all a jumbled mess, but it's all purposeful.
Mm-hmm. Correct. I agree.
So what is next? What is the big dream? I mean, you're certainly not going to peak at Prince, because knowing you, you're just going to keep going higher and higher. I mean, so what does the next stage of your journey look like?
Right now, for me, is to definitely build something for the community to continue to thrive for. And that mm-hmm. is bringing our community together, who are, you know, individuals who are creatives, to build something. Because I feel like with everything that is going on, as far as we need to throw ourselves into art, that's what mm-hmm. heals us, right? Anything mm-hmm. that's creative, drawing, making music, dancing, you know, anything that we love when we're children,
mm-hmm.
need to come back. You know, like, I think that's what's going to soothe us, right? Like mm-hmm. with everything that's going on, because remember, we have this innocence when mm-hmm. we're children. And so we're always curious about anything and everything. We want to try anything and everything. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, when we're children, it's all about what we create with our hands, how we feel. We will create something with our hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what makes us be able to express ourselves if we are not able to express ourselves verbally. So I want to be able to build something, which I am in the middle of right now, and it's called Blue by Design. And it's a nonprofit where we, as creatives, create workshops and masterclasses for our youth to have a better understanding of their art, their awesome. Creativity, their work. So either mm-hmm. if it's them learning how to find their own eye and their creativity as a photographer, or mm-hmm. being able to find their own inner confidence to become a model or an mm-hmm. actress, to be even a healer and help people mm-hmm. work on their bodies or mm-hmm. their physical state when it comes to their hair or, you know, their skin. So I definitely want to create this hub where you are able to find people that look like you to help you mm-hmm. to serve you, or not even that, to even have more people of color into different industries mm-hmm. that don't have a rainbow of people to work for them. And so I'm creating this space where it's more of a what you call boutique agency, where mm-hmm. you will find people of color that will give you the services that you would need that's in the beauty and fashion industry, or in production as well. And when mm-hmm. I say production, and it can be full, because I'm a creative director as well. So I have ideas, right? Right. Like, so I have all these ideas in my head, and I'm like, oh, we need to tell this story. Oh, we need to do this. Okay, so how do we do that? Like, do we create a panel? Do we create a story behind this panel? Because now, you know, we can't sit alongside of each other, and you can't talk with masks properly. So what does that look like? So how do we create this visually, right? So now everything is on social media. Now everything is on our fingertips. It's everything mm-hmm. that we need to see and hear. So what does that look like? So, you know, apart from me being behind the scenes, making sure that everybody looks good, right, in front of the camera, I want to also create content to tell the stories about the people behind the scenes.
That's so cool. Wow. If anyone isn't feeling inspired by this point in the conversation, check your pulse, because this is unbelievable what you're doing. I mean, your journey alone, but where you're headed, you know, sign me up. Let me know how I can help, you know, because just amazing. I'm speechless.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much. No, this has been amazing. Like just to being able to share this with others and knowing that there's a need for it, I'm there for it all too. So anybody that is, who's right there, didn't want to jump on the wagon, come on with, cause I'm down for it, you know?
Well, Abibat, this has been an amazing, amazing, amazing conversation. I just have one last question for you.
Sure.
What is on your soundtrack of creativity, the soundtrack that inspires your best work?
Oh my gosh. Soundtrack. I got a plethora. Are you asking me like for music, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So Queen Latifah, UNITY. Queen Latifah, Kendrick Lamar, Prince, of course, Michael Jackson, Tina Turner. Right now, that's has been in my soundtrack.
Nice.
While I'm like in my head, it'll just pop up. I'm like, yes, you know? Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Abibat, thank you so much for being a guest on Getting Work to Work. I'm so excited to follow what you do. And I'm just so grateful for our time today. Thank you so much for just your passion, your enthusiasm, and for the way you show up in the world. Just amazing.
Oh, blessings, Chris. Thank you so much for having me. This has been amazing. I had a great time with you.
Be sure to check out Abibat's upcoming event, The New Norm in Fashion, as part of this year's Virtual Design Week Portland, August 3rd through 7th, 2020. Register today and enjoy more with Abibat from the comfort of your own home. Be sure to check out the Design Week 2020 schedule for a wide range of amazing events at designportland.org. You'll also find links at gwtw.co/432. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.